17. Someone in authority.
Keela!
Again, the voice.
Keela, ma'am!
No, not some divine whisper, a real voice. Across the torrent of the flowing crowd, she sees Tang waving to her. Keela jumps down and pushes through the press to reach her. Tang has soldiers with her, members of the conclave, or willing civilian volunteers. They stink of promethium, because most are carrying flamer units liberated from the munition wagons. Trial and error has shown that flames are the best defense. It's not much, because despite their vast numbers, they are not an armed force. But flamers can lay down screens of fire to drive off the raiding enemy units that harry the Exodus. And fire is the best protection against the Neverborn, especially when they erupt inside the refugee column. Fire has become the weapon of faith. It's not much protection. If they are overtaken or surprised by an enemy main force, there will be absolute slaughter.
What is it?
Keela asks. Tang gestures to Katsuhiro, the trooper who has become part of their rabble. Caked in dust and masked like a bandit, he still clutches the child to his body. Keela doubts he will ever let it go.
Someone demanding to see someone in authority, says Katsuhiro.
Keela grins.
Best of luck with that, she says. He means you, says Lita Tang.
Keela shrugs and follows them, walking up the ragged edge of the processional in the stone-choked gutter, following the direction of the flow. They move faster than the main body of the mass, which crawls, bandaged and blindfolded like a vagabond glacier. Katsuhiro and two flamer troops lead her and Tang off the main thoroughfare into an area of burned-out ruins. People from the Exodus are resting there, propped on stone blocks and broken walls, easing torn feet and getting their strength back before rejoining the long march. A little way in, Keela sees a robed man indignantly arguing with Wereft and several more conclave soldiers. The robed man is injured, and his indignation has robbed him of what was once some stately dignity.
What is this?
Keela asks Katsuhiro.
We saw a flyer come down, he replies. A little Augusthopter, chopped by flak. Your man Wereft sent a team to check for survivors. Found this one. Are you in charge?
The robed man asks as Keela approaches.
No one's in charge, she replies. If you're here for any length of time, you'll realize that.
I require soldiers, the man says. An escort detachment. You will provide them.
That's not possible, she says.
Well, I told him it wasn't possible, says Wereft. Then make it possible, the man snaps.
Sir, we can offer you support and somewhat limited Medicare assistance, she says. But beyond that,
do you know who I am?
The man asks her. His anger is born out of fear. She can see that. She can also see that she does know who he is, to a certain extent. Up close, she can see the fine quality of his robes, the expensive silks, the mantle and crest of office, disguised by dust and oil, the eyes that have been sutured shut for decades.
This, says Wereft, is Nemo Jimeng.
Lord!
The man snaps.
Lord! Will you address me with respect?
With respect, then, Lord Jimeng, says Keela. You're shit out of luck. You can come with us or you can make your own way. A dubious choice, I realize.
He's stunned to silence.
He sits down heavily on a slab of rockcrete, head bowed, and his shoulders start to shake.
Step back, please,
Keela says to the others. They back off and leave her alone with the man. She crouches in front of Jimeng.
I'm afraid authority has its limits now, she says gently. Life too. Hell is here.
I know it,
he murmurs, nodding.
I mean no unkindness, my lord, but all we can do is walk, in the hope of walking clear of this.
He turns his face towards her. Though his eyes are long gone, the sacrifice of his art, his blind sight is sharp and knows exactly where she is.
You're Keela,
he asks. She nods.
I am,
he begins, Choirmaster of the Adeptus Astra Telepathica, she answers. A lord of the High Council of Terra, one of the senior 12. My lord, in other circumstances, it would have been a singular honour to meet you. Where were you going?
I was at Bab Bastion, he says, trying to do my work. Reinforce the telethesics.
He shrugs.
Bab is fallen, he says.
I guessed as much.
We tried to evacuate. My life wards got me to a flyer, but...
This is not flying weather, my lord.
Zhi Meng laughs, a brittle laugh.
It was a slaughter, Keeler. Great men and women, the Imperium's best, butchered in the halls, burned like kindling.
Men and women of all stations have been brought low by this, sir, she replies. Come with me to the street outside, and I will show you millions of them. War makes no distinctions when it comes to privilege, office, or nobility, I'm afraid.
I was trying to reach the sanctum, he says, to rejoin the command structure and perform my duties.
I can't get you there, she says. Eternity Gate is shut forever. Our duties are reassigned for us all. Ours, now, yours and mine, it's simply to survive if we can.
He nods.
You're leading refugees out of the center?
Yes, Lord.
To where?
I have no idea, she says. Nowhere in this world is safe, but I'm hoping some places are safer than others. Perhaps the northern districts, or even off the plateau itself, if we can get that far. To be honest, I think lack of food and water will kill most of us long before that. And if they don't, the enemy is at our backs and getting ever closer.
The world is broken, he says.
He rubs dirt off his cheek with the back of his hand.
The last things I saw before I left my post. Readings and data that made no sense. Time. Dimensions. I mean the basic laws and fundamentals of the material world. They are corrupting. Terror is being dragged into the warp, Keeler. The natural laws of space and time can no longer be trusted to guide us. I know you know what the warp is.
Yes, she replies.
I have heard a great deal about you, he says. One of the very first, beyond the privileged few, to glimpse the truth of our universe. That is correct, isn't it?
It is.
I confess, ma'am, I was one of those who voted to keep you incarcerated. To keep you locked away, so you could divulge nothing. The truth was kept close for a long time, Keeler. For good reason.
I was taught the truth sets us free.
Sadly, no. And to say so makes you sound naive. Since the very first I have known this. Since I was first elected to my role and inducted into the mysteries. To run the Telepathica and support the Astronomicon, I had to learn things that would curdle the mind. For all the Emperor's power, mankind exists on the very brink, under sufferance of the warp. Without it, we cannot maintain an empire. But it is our greatest foe. I have always petitioned, most strenuously, that the secrets of our universe must be kept from almost everybody. Then the likes of you come along, half glimpsing something, and then speaking of faith and divinity.
I only speak of what I have seen, sir.
Without thought to the danger of it! The gods are false, Keeler. I have come to understand through this horror that there is a reason he prohibited religion and followed his instinct to shield mankind from understanding. The gods are false, but an awareness of the deep powers makes them real. The derangements of faith and belief stir up the empiric void.
I understand that, she says. I understood it when it was first revealed to me. And for the longest time, that policy made sense. Ignorance was the best defense. The Emperor could shield us by our ignorance until his great plan was implemented and mankind could exist free of the warp. But Horus came,
Yes. Horus came.
And look at us, sir. Look where we are now. This can't be hidden or ignored. The warp is revealed to all and everyone. And the ignorance enforced upon us makes us more vulnerable. For lacking a better explanation, the masses see this as demons and devilry, which of course amplifies the effect. The ignorance that once protected us now magnifies the warp.
You are a more rational person than I expected, Keela, he says.
Thank you. And I ask you this, because you may be one of the few who can answer. If superstitious dread amplifies the warp, might not faith fortify against it?
Faith in what?
In the Emperor. If fear agitates the warp into a frenzy, might not faith generate a stabilizing calm?
You betray your lack of comprehension, Keela. At the risk of gross simplification, such a mechanism would only work if the Emperor was a god, in the way that primordial entities of the Empyrean may be called gods.
But what if he is?
Dear woman, I have stood in his presence. He is many things, but a god he is not.
I have met him too, she says.
You have?
I have. He's here with me now. He is my hope. He is the hope of the millions in the street. He is the voice calling my name. He is the light. I think, sir, though I bow to your greater learning, that you have beheld it all, but missed the point. You understand the detailed rubrics of your office and the complex mechanisms of the Astropathica, yet fail to see... She stops and sits down heavily. The nausea has overwhelmed her again, quite suddenly. There's a light in her eyes that makes the shape of her name, a shining voice that dazzles her.
Are you all right? Asks Ximeng. What happened?
I am. It's passing.
I felt that. Felt something. A wash of Psychana, for a moment. Do you have the gift, Keela? Does that explain your fanciful ideas?
She clambers heavily to her feet. I don't know anything, sir, she says. Really, I don't. I freely admit that my life has become cursed by mere flashes, all incomplete of the greater truth. I have seen the lightning through a keyhole. I can only make what sense of it I can. But I know where we're going.
Who?
Ximeng asks. All of us. I know where we're going, or where we're supposed to be going. I know where we need to be. I saw it quite suddenly. A light. A guiding light. It is everything. It is the most important thing.
Do you mean a place where all these people will be safe? He asks. Where we will be safe?
I don't know, she replies. I don't think it's safe at all. But I know it's where we have to go.
How do you know? Who is telling you this?
I don't know that either, says Keela.